Before you, we thank you so much for blessing us, giving us the ability to be here today, to worship, to fellowship, to be with your people. Father, we pray today that you may bless the words of the speaker, that my words may be your words, may be from your inspiration and your spirit. Father Yahweh, we know that the times are evil. We know that the prophecies seem to be coming to pass. We pray, Father, that you may help us to become better servants, better friends, better disciples of yours, so that when this day does arrive, we will have the strength, dedication, and faith to withstand what this day will bring. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the life we have. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the friends. Thank you for the family. Thank you again for all that you've done, and thank you most of all for Yahshua and his sacrifice and the redemption through his blood. And we ask this in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. We'd like to welcome everybody here today. I'd also like to welcome those who may be listening on audio cassette tape, CD, or live via the internet. You have a new appreciation for Brother Michael, which we don't see very often. He's in back, but we really do appreciate his efforts. I know last week I was lost trying to fill in for him. A few weeks ago, I received an email from Brother Ken, and it maybe impacted me more than most emails I've received or any email I've received in the last few months. I'd like to read it to you. I think it's prophetic in content and something we should all consider for the time. It starts off with the researchers from King's College London and the North East England Stem Cell Institute, which is NECSCI, submitted the application to the Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority, HFEA, a regulatory body that oversees embryo research and fertility treatment. If the application is approved, the hybrid embryo will be 99.9% human and 0.1% animal. By using animal eggs, the scientists hope to overcome the shortage of human eggs left over the IVF treatments which have been used for stem cell research. A research team at King's College London is optimistic that the FEA will rule favorably on our license application, said Dr. Stephen Minger, director of the Stem Cell Biology Laboratory, King's College. We feel that the development of disease-specific human embryonic stem cells lines for individuals suffering from genetic forms of neurodegenerative disorders will stimulate both basic research and the development of new treatments for these devastating brain diseases. The HFEA said on Monday it has not received the application yet. It will be peer-reviewed by a panel of experts. The decision could take several months. The government's consultation of fertility laws shows there is a strong current of public concern on this, a spokesman for the HFEA told Reuters. Other scientists welcomed the application, saying it was a rational next step in stem cell research. To achieve this kind of programming will be a key step for regenerative medicine. Using animal eggs instead of human ones is a sensible and practical approach which will accelerate progress, said Dr. Wolf Reich of the Barbarham Institute in England. The scientists said they intend to initially use cow eggs in the research, which will attempt to grow new tissue genetically matched to patients from stem cells. They will use nuclear transfer, the technique used to create Dolly the sheep, the world's first cloned mammal. The nucleus of the animal egg will be removed and fused with the nucleus from a human cell. The egg will develop until it is a cluster of cells or blastocysts. After 6 days, the scientists will remove the stem cells, which can develop into any cell type or tissue. The early embryo will be destroyed before it is used 14 days old in accordance with the license. We're very hopeful that the HFEA will grant us permission for this work, which will help us to understand more about how stem cells behave after the nuclear transfer process, said Dr. Lyle Armstrong of NESCI. As I said, this is probably the most alarming email I've received as of late. Think about the ramifications of stem cell research. And again, they've already cloned in this process. So it can be done, and it has been done. These stem cells are 99% human, and 0.1% animal. And that's for today. Who knows what they will do in the future? When I read this email, the immediate thought was the Tower of Babel. You know, Yahweh allowed man to progress so far until he put a stop to man's ability. He knew that with one language, man could conquer and do anything he set his mind to, so Yahweh confounded the languages. Well, I'm afraid that we're close to our Tower of Babel today. We've made it too far. And in my opinion, I cannot see how Yahweh will not and cannot intervene with what man is doing. We are playing the Almighty, and it's time that we recognize the threat. You know, besides this, we also see the threat of war today. Iraq, Afghanistan, we hear of rumors of wars, as we will speak on, with North Korea, Iran, and other parts of the world. We also see the constant increase of sin, loss of morality in this day and age. The signs are here. This is not the time to be asleep. This is not the time to stop watching. This is not the time to be negligent on the watch. I believe that it's also time that we prepare as Yahweh's people. I've not called for this type of preparation before, but I'm going to today. And I hope and pray those who hear this message, those of you here, may heed the call. Jennifer and I, we plan to put back several months' worth of food and water. Also, several survival items. For instance, a way to start a fire, matches, some way to keep those dry, first aid kit, fishing supplies. I think it's time that we begin thinking in these terms. Again, the signs are here. The signs are here. And to neglect what we see, I think, would be negligent on our part. So again, the signs are here. I'd like to encourage everybody to do this, to store up food, to store up water, to store up some supplies that we may need if we have to flee or go without. Because someday, maybe not in my lifetime, maybe not in your lifetime, but someday we will have no choice but to isolate ourselves from this system. And when we do, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. So I'd like to encourage you all to do that today. I'd like to speak on signs of the end of this age and what we're seeing today. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, this is Yahshua's Olivet prophecy, certainly the most famous of all prophecies, I believe, in the New Testament. Yahshua's Olivet prophecy, Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse 3 with me to begin. It says, "And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the consummation or end of this age?" So the disciples are coming to Yahshua and they're asking, what do we look for? What will happen before your coming? What will happen before the end of this age? And this is the context of what we find here in Matthew 24. It is a description of what we will find before Yahshua's coming, a description of what we will find before the consummation of this current age. So it's important that we understand all these signs, and we're going to review most of them today. Look at verse 4. Let's begin with our first sign. Verse 4. "And Yahshua answered and said to them, Take heed that no man lead you astray. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Messiah, and shall lead many astray." So here is the first sign for the consummation of this age. And what is this sign? This first sign is deception. It's deception through man. Let no man deceive you. Yahshua says here that many will come saying, I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. What did Yahshua mean here when he said this? What was he trying to convey? Some say that this is referring to false ministers who teach contradictory to Yahshua. Others believe that this is referring to men who will literally say, that I am the Messiah. So what is the truth? But the Greek word for I is ego, means I, me, or my. The word am is I, me, to be, to exist, to happen, or to be present. And in Greek, the term for Messiah is Christos, or in Hebrew, Mashiach. And it means the anointed one, or the Messiah. The Messiah, the anointed one. The Greek indicates here that this person will say that I am the anointed one. I am the Messiah. You see, the term anti, in reference to the anti-Messiah, doesn't always mean against. Many people believe that this is only can only mean against. This is not true. It can also mean in place of. In place of. Yahshua here is warning of men who will come and say that they are the Messiah, that they will put themselves in place of Yahshua, in place of Him. Now we know through history there have been hundreds, thousands who've made this claim, and they've been successful with deceiving many thousands of people. But we do know in the end time that the anti-Messiah, will receive his power from Satan, from Lucifer. He will be able to do great signs and great wonders. And with these signs and with these wonders and with this power, he will be able to deceive the world. And we know, in fact, he will deceive the world. You know, there's a reason why Yahshua said what he did here. There's a reason why the first sign is do not be deceived. You understand that? There's a reason why Yahshua began with this sign. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. He said, for many shall come, saying, I am a Messiah. Now, if there's anything we need to be cautious of, as Yahweh's people, this, and that is deception. How many times did Yahshua say to watch? How many times did he say to be ready? How many times did he promote to be on guard? How many times do we find that that's a reoccurring theme throughout Scripture, to be ready, to watch? Yahshua knew that deception was a real threat. And in knowing this, he prophesied his first sign in his Olivet prophecy, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. This is very, very important that we understand this as Yahweh's people, because someday we're going to see, it says, if possible, even the elect could be deceived. We're going to see that later. Let's continue with verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So here's the second sign. Wars and rumors of wars. Do we find evidence of this today in this world? Do we see wars? Are we hearing of rumors of wars? Of course we are. Throughout this world, we see wars and they're becoming more common. We see wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and other parts of the world. We hear of rumors of wars again from North Korea, China, Iran. According to globalsecurity.org, currently there are 40 wars throughout this world. 40. 40 major wars being fought today throughout this world. We're involved in a few of them. But we continue to see an increase in war as time goes on. This is a statistical fact. You understand that? Yahshua said that nation would be against nation and kingdom against kingdom. What did he mean by this? Was he simply emphasizing the point, or is there more? Well, the term nation is ethnos in the Greek. It means a race, a nation, or a people. This is speaking about civil war. Civil war, the same people. Same people will fight one another, nation against nation. And kingdom here is basilia. It means kingdom, dominion, or rule. What we find here is an example of what we find with the U.S. and Iraq, or the U.S. and Afghanistan. Word war between nations. Yahshua said that this would increase, that we would hear of wars. We would see wars. We would see an increase in these things as time went on. So let's just three civil wars currently being fought in the Republic of Georgia. It's located between Russia and Turkey. They've been at civil war since 1992. Right now, 300 people have fled and are without a home because of the civil war. Somalia, located in Africa. They've been at civil war since 1991. And according to the best estimates, we've had anywhere from 350,000 deaths to 1 million deaths because of this civil war. Uganda, Africa again. War began in 1980, still being fought. Hundreds and thousands dead, and several hundred thousand, 400,000 is the estimate of people left homeless because of this civil war. We're seeing these things every day, and we continue to see them, and we're seeing an increase. Keep in mind what Yahshua said here. He said, be not troubled. He said, be not troubled, for these things must come to pass. What Yahshua was saying here is, these things are prophesied. They will happen. There's nothing you can do to prevent it or stop it. It will happen. So this isn't something that should consume us. But at the same time, it's something we need to be aware of. And we need to understand and look to. We need to have the courage and faith so that if this does happen here someday, will we have the faith to see us through? And that's part of the reason for this message, a message of encouragement, of admonition. Because if this happens, I want you to ask yourselves whether you have the faith and courage and dedication and devotion to stay strong, to stay with the faith no matter what happens. This is going to be a horrible time, but something we need to think about. Let's continue with verse 7 here, latter part of verse 7. It says, there and there shall be famines and earthquakes in various places, but all these things are but the beginning of travail or trouble. So we find here the third sign. And we find that this sign is dealing with famines and earthquakes and other natural disasters. Have we seen an increase in these things? Have we seen an increase in earthquakes, in famines, and other natural disasters, tsunamis? Have we? I'd like to focus first on famine. There are millions of people, as I speak, that are suffering from famine and from a lack of nutrition in this world. According to a report issued by the UN on October 30th, 2006, 820 million people today are suffering from famine and malnutrition. 820 million people. That's a lot of people. According to another report by Bread.org, every day more than 16,000 children die from hunger-related cases. That's one child every 5 seconds. According to the same source, every year nearly 11 million children die before they reach the age of 5. This is mostly occurring in developing countries. 75% of these deaths are in Africa, South Asia, the two regions that suffer most from famine and malnutrition. According to a PBS report in May of 2001, a North Korean official disclosed that 220,000 people died a famine from 1995 to 1998 in North Korea. Western sources put famine casualties during the same period much higher, 270,000 to 2 million deaths because of famine. This is occurring. Think about just for a moment what it would be like. 120 million people suffering from famine, suffering from a lack of food. They don't have what we have today. You know, I was listening to a minister here recently. I typically don't listen to this minister. But he brought up some good points. He was talking about how we're to be thankful. And you know, we have so much to be thankful for. So much. We have food. We have legs to walk with. We have arms to reach with. We have minds to think with. We have friends. We have family. We have so much to be thankful for. And when we see these types of statistics showing that so many people are suffering from malnutrition, suffering from famine, dying every day because they lack the very basic necessities that we take for granted. Something we should be very thankful for. I mean, the thought of 11 million children dying from famine before the age of 5. You know, I have a daughter, and that's horrible to think of. And there's mothers and fathers losing their children by the day because of famine. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for what we have and not take for granted. You know, if hard times would come upon us again, could we go without? Could we be without our basic necessities if we had to flee? You know, we all may have to suffer someday. This is a reality. This isn't something we might happen, or this is a reality. If these times would come in our lifetime, if the Great Tribulation would happen now or in a few years, this would impact all of us. Because we know that we cannot take the mark, we can't buy or sell. We are on our own with Almighty Yahweh, of course. But again, would we have the faith to overcome this type of trial, this type of persecution? I hope we would. The other signs that we read about here is the earthquakes. Joshua prophesied that we would see an increase in this natural disaster earthquakes. Now, we have more earthquakes on record in the last few decades. Some debate, though, whether that's because we have more earthquakes or we have better technology to record those earthquakes. No matter what the case might be, Joshua did prophesy that we would see an increase in earthquakes. And I believe we will. And that is a sign that we're to look for. Before Joshua's coming, we will see an increase in earthquakes. And with that, other things like tsunamis, which we saw here just a few years ago. In the 21st century, we had at least eight major earthquakes on record. January of 2001, an earthquake 7.7 on the Richter scale struck India, killing 19,000 people. March of 2002, an earthquake hit Afghanistan, killing almost 2,000 people. February 2003, an earthquake of 6.3 magnitude hit China, killed 266 people. May of 2003, an earthquake of 6.4 hit Turkey, killed 167 people. In December of 2003, an earthquake hit Iran, devastating earthquake, killed 30,000 people. December of 2004, something we're all familiar with, an earthquake of 9.0 underwater caused a tsunami. 283,000 people died as a result. October of 2005 in Kashmir, an earthquake of 7.6 to 7.8 struck, killing 100 to 150,000 people. And in May of 2006 in Java, Indonesia, an earthquake of 6.3 occurred, killing 6,000 people, injuring 33,000 people, and leaving 200,000 people homeless. Now, I don't know if earthquakes are on the increase or not. I've did a lot of research, and there's conflicting data. But before Joshua does return, earthquakes will become more common. And we read here the results of such earthquakes. I'd like to read an article. I was doing some research on this and read an article this last week from LifeScience.org. And the title is Central U.S. Warned of Larger Earthquakes to Come. This is home, literally just a few hours away. Here's what it says, part of the article. The infamous series of the New Madrid quakes in 1811 to 1812 occurred a few weeks apart, from December 16th to February 7th. They measured 8.1, 8.0, 7.8. And represent three of the four largest earthquakes ever recorded in the lower 48 states. Strong earthquakes in the New Madrid seismic zone are certain to occur in the future, states a USGS fact sheet. There is a 9 in 10 chance of a magnitude 6 to 7 tremor occurring in the New Madrid seismic zone within the next 50 years. The New Madrid fault's remarkable spree of shifts devastated the sparsely populated area in the time. Amazingly, the quakes were so strong, they were felt in much of the country, as far as Boston. Damage was reported as far away as Charleston, South Carolina, and Washington, D.C. The shortest of the New Madrid events was 10 times intense than the 1906 San Francisco earthquake, scientists say. Earthquakes are similar intensity occurring around the world, 900 and again in the middle 1400s. Along the New Madrid Fault, named for a small town in Missouri. It will happen. It will occur. It's only a matter of time. We don't need this article, though, to verify that earthquakes are and will be on the increase. Because we know, again, it's only a matter of time. So many of these signs seem to be coming to pass. Understand that the reason for this message was to, again, to admonish, to caution The Yahweh's kingdom is coming. I don't know when it's coming. I don't have a date for you. I don't know. Could be in my lifetime, could be after my lifetime. I don't know. But the signs are here. Yahweh's kingdom is coming. Are we ready? With that kingdom, he will bring his wrath. Are we ready? We will suffer. Are we ready for this coming? During this time, we may suffer tremendously. It's so important that we have the faith and devotion to him now, so that if this does occur, we can stand, and we can stand firm without compromise. If we allow these plagues to weaken our faith, we could miss the mark. And I'm sure many believers will fall during this time. What does the Bible say about those who receive the mark? Those who receive the mark are doomed. There's no opportunity for the kingdom for them. That's what Scripture says. They're doomed. And I'm sure some believers will fall under the pressure. So important that we ask ourselves now, because you know when this time occurs, it's too late. If we're not strong in our faith, when this time occurs, it's too late. And that's why it's so important that we ask ourselves now, because what we're seeing with science and medicine and war and all that we see throughout this world, the time is at hand, I believe. Notice that Yahshua said these were but the beginning of troubles. Beginning of troubles. We know that as the time becomes closer to the consummation, to the end of this age, to Yahshua's coming, that these things will become worse. They will become worse as time goes on. All this will become worse as Yahshua's coming becomes closer. I'd like to move on to our fourth sign, found in, again, Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. It says that then shall they deliver up you to tribulation, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. Notice that, for his name's sake, for our belief, for our conviction, for what we stand for. And then shall they stumble, and shall deliver you up to one another, and shall hate one another. So notice all that we find here. It says that, A, we're going to be delivered to tribulation. We know that someday we will suffer persecution. It says that we're going to be killed and hated for our belief, for Yahshua's name's sake, because we hold to the one true Messiah. From Mark's account, it says that brother shall deliver brother to death. It's something we don't find here, but something we do find in the other evangels. Shall deliver brother to death. Our enemies will be of our own household. It's going to be a horrible time. All these things, again, are but the beginning, it says, of trouble. The beginning of trouble. The beginning of what is to come. Again, will we have the faith to overcome and to hold firm no matter what happens, no matter what we come against? You know, please understand that this is not just another message. I don't want you walking away here forgetting what you've heard. I want you to think about what I'm saying. I want you to ponder. I want you to watch. I want you to be alert. I'd like you to make yourself ready for what is to come. Because again, the time may be short. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. The fifth sign. And many false prophets shall arise and shall lead many astray. So what do we find here? Yahshua says that as his time becomes closer, that we will see more and more false prophets arise. What did he mean here with false prophets? What is this indicating in the Greek? The word means a person who foretells or prophesies lies or deceit. That's what we find here. Yahshua said again that before his time we would see more of this occur. Are we seeing this today? Are we seeing this today take place? You know, it seems that as Christianity's foundation crumbles, we're seeing an ever-increasing number of men claiming to have prophetic insight when in fact all they have are lies and deceit. It's all they have. They say they have a vision. They say they have a prophetic insight. They say they have this or that. But it's all lies. It's all deceit. It seems that this is real common with the charismatic movement. Every time I turn the TV on to TBN or one of these other stations, you see someone else saying they have a prophetic insight. We're seeing more and more of this. It's amazing how many people believe these lies and these deceptions. But again, this is going to become worse. This will become worse than what we're seeing today. You think what we're seeing today is bad? Wait until the man of sin comes on the scene. Again, if possible, the very elect could be deceived. If possible. Verse 12 says, and because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. This is a sixth sign. And that is, sin will multiply. Sin will increase. You know, if there is one sign that is impossible to miss today, it's this right here. That sin is on the increase. That sin is multiplying. Joshua prophesied that sin or iniquity would increase before his coming. In every facet of our culture, in every facet of this world, we can find that sin is on the rise. You know, there are no absolute values anymore. The morality that we had once in this nation is gone. You know, 60 years ago, I keep saying 50 years ago, a decade's passed, I got to back up just a little bit. 60 years ago, sins like homosexuality, fornication, adultery were universal taboo. But now, these are the norm. People living with one another, nobody says anything. It's fine. Even though it's technically fornication, nobody brings this up, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Adultery, same thing. Oh, I'll continue to being your friend no matter what happens, no matter what you're doing. Regardless of the fact that you've left your family for another woman you're living with. We're living in troublesome times. We can't escape this sin either. It seems like no matter where we look, it's on the TV, it's in our schools, it's in our businesses, it's everywhere we look and turn. We can't escape it. You know, look at our culture today, and you can find the result of what happens when you and remove morality. You know, Yahweh's laws were given for a reason and a purpose. So many people, they miss this point. They were given for a purpose and a reason. We in this nation and the world have abandoned that law, and now we're suffering from the consequences of that decision. But as we find here, sin will increase. It will continue to increase and become worse as Joshua's coming becomes that much closer. Now, notice what happens when sin increases. Pay attention. The love of many, it says, will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. You know, there are a few things I fear more than what we find here. Why? Well, it's amazing what man is capable of when morality is forsaken and the love of man becomes cold. For example, consider Nazi Germany. I've used this example before. You know, these Nazi soldiers, they were responsible for the deaths of millions of Jews. And these Jews were guilty of nothing. They were guilty of only being born a Jew. And millions of them were slaughtered by human beings who had lost their love, who were calloused, who were cold. I believe that as the Jews that suffered at the hands of Hitler, we too will suffer, some of us. We know that Yahweh does promise protection for some, but some will be martyred. It's just a foretaste of what Hitler did to the Jews as to what the man of sin will do to those who defy him. This is a reason it scares me to think of a time when sin will become so commonplace and the heart of man will grow so cold and calloused. You know, when you remove the love from a man, and they are calloused, heartless human beings, it's remarkable what a man is capable of doing, some horrible things. Again, we can look back at the Holocaust and what Nazi Germany did, and there's many, many, many examples. You can look at Russia and Stalin and so many other men in the history of mankind and what they were capable of doing, and to think the Joshua says this will be worldwide. This will not be just isolated people. This will be worldwide. It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing when man's heart becomes cold. Turn to 2 Thessalonians with me for the seventh sign. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we entreat you, brethren, touching the coming of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, and our gathering together to Him. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about Yahshua's return. We're talking about Yahshua's return to this earth. Verse 2, to the end, that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as from us, as that the day of Yahweh is just at hand. So Paul, here writing to the Thessalonians, says, be not troubled. Be not troubled by word or letter. Be not troubled, he says, for Yahweh's day is at hand. Let no man beguile you in any wise, for except the falling away come first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. In this passage we find, before Yahshua can return, a falling away must come first. A falling away. Now what will be the cause for this falling away? Will it be the responsibility, the cause of the man of sin? Who does this include? Does this include only those immersed in Yahshua's name? Does this include all who profess to believe in Yahweh's word, the Bible, as a whole? There's two schools of thought on this. This falling away, the first thought is, will be caused by the man of sin and will be focused on Yahweh's people. The second thought is that this falling away will be brought by the increase in sin, an increase in immorality, and will be include all Bible believers, everybody who believes. Now, I believe that this is the explanation, and this is what Paul is trying to convey to the Thessalonians. That someday sin is going to get so bad that sin is going to multiply to a point that the love of man will grow cold, and as a result, there will be a great falling away throughout this world. There's more 30% of this world's population currently is what we would probably call Bible believers. This number is not growing as it did years and years ago. Islam is now the fastest growing religion. And as we see a increase in sin and immorality, we continue to see a decrease in the growth of Bible believers, those who profess to believe in this book right here. And I believe this is what Paul's pointing to, a time when sin and iniquity and corruption, immorality will be so common that people will no longer follow this book. A great falling away must happen. And this is a seventh sign, something we need to look for, something that many people believe that we're seeing now with the loss in biblical morality and the increase in secularism. You know, have you ever noticed with liberalism, secularism, whatever you want to call it, you know, they allow all viewpoints but a conservative or religious viewpoint. You can be a homosexual, you're fine. You can be whatever you want to be, but righteous and moral. That's unacceptable. That is unacceptable. These nations, there's a nation in Europe that is trying to ban different forms of worship now in the public because they want to encourage and preserve their secularism. Well, that's what we're going to see, I think, worldwide, this encouragement of immorality as we have and currently see in Europe. But again, this is one of the signs that we'll see as Yahshua's day draws closer. You know, even many people who say that they're religious, I was having a discussion with a coworker of mine, and I would say on the whole he's a religious man, but he's pro-choice. And he said he's pro-choice because we don't have the right to legislate morality when it comes to the right of the woman. Well, we've come a long ways in this nation to murder is no longer murder. You know, if murder, if a child is conceived at conception, that is murder. There are no justifications for abortion at all. But yet people, even those who follow the Bible, they've lost that moral compass. They no longer know. They no longer know. Again, there are no absolute morality, moralities. Turn to Matthew chapter 24 again with me. Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse 15, the eighth sign, and that's the abomination of desolation. When therefore you see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let him that reads understands. Then let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him that is on the housetop not go down to take out the things that are in the house. And this is a reason for the urgency. Yahshua said that when you see these things coming, don't go back home. Don't go back home when you see these things coming. Verse 17, let him that is on the housetop not go down to take out the things that are in his house. And let him that is in the field not return back to take his cloak. And we know that Joshua goes on to say that this will be the most evil time that this earth has ever seen. Now, there's a lot of speculation what this abomination of desolation may represent. There's a lot of different ideas. I believe that this was once fulfilled by Antiochus Epiphanes IV, who desecrated the holy place by placing in it a statue of Zeus and by sacrificing a pig. You know, Solomon said, "What was will be again." I believe that just as Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the temple once before, the man of sin will do something in a similar way. He might place the statue that the false prophet gives life in the holy place, desecrating it with this image that we find in Revelation chapter 13. To be honest, nobody knows exactly how this prophecy will be fulfilled. But what we do know is it will be some sort of image that will be placed in the holy place of the temple. And we talked about that at the Bible study today. That will be an abomination in the eyes of Almighty Yahweh. And I believe that when we see this, when we see this happen, we will know. So many people, they try to know precisely what this may represent now. I don't know if we need to be concerned with knowing exactly what this represents now. What we need to be concerned with is watching. And when we see this happen, to know. Because what does Joshua say here? He says, "Those in Judea to flee to the mountains, those who are in the field, go not back to get your clothes. Don't return home." According to Daniel, this abomination desolation begins a great tribulation. It is when that 3.5 years occurs. Now, how will we know again that this is fulfilled? We're looking for signs. We know that a temple is going to be built. We see it here. We know that there's going to be a statue of or an image of some sort that will be placed very specifically in a holy place. We need to look for that. So again, when it happens, we're watching and we will know when it's fulfilled. We will know. You know, when it comes to prophecy, there's an important principle to understand. So many people, they miss this principle. Prophecy was not given so that we could precisely predict the future. You understand that? Prophecy was not given so that we could say 200 years from now Russia's going to come down on Israel. Prophecy was given so that we can look for the signs that Joshua and many others left and know when they have been fulfilled. Know their fulfillment. You know, Joshua used the parable of the fig tree. And he says, as you see the leaves begin, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when we see these prophecies coming to pass, we know that Yahshua's coming is near. We're looking for the signs. Prophecy, again, was not given so that we could predict. Prophecy was given so that we're not led astray and we're not deceived by Satan and his tools. Turn to Revelation chapter 11 with me. This is another thing we spoke about in the Bible study. I'd like to review with you. Revelation chapter 11. Verse 1, "And there was given to me a reed like a rod. It once said, Rise and measure the temple of Elohim and the altar and them that worship in it. And the court which is outside the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it has been given to the nations, and the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. And I thought it was fascinating, the quote that Brother Ryan brought up, that the outside is destined for destruction. And that is the reason why the distinction, I believe, there. But we find that before Yahshua's coming, the 3.5 years, the 42 months, that a temple will be built. It's called the Temple of Elohim. Now again, keep in mind that this is during the Great Tribulation. Keep in mind that this is when the man of sin, the Antichrist, will rule over this earth. This is a physical sign that we can watch for as Yahweh's people. A temple, a holy place of some sort, will be built before the end of this age. So that is something we can look for as Yahweh's people, a physical sign of the end of this age, a temple, a holy place, that the man of sin will set in, that his false prophet will set in, that the man of sin will desecrate with some sort of image. This is something, again, we can look for and we can watch. According to many sources, the Jews have already manufactured many of the temple items, like the table of showbread and other items in the temple. They have these done. They're just waiting for a temple. Supposedly, I've even heard that they've selected a priesthood from the tribe of Levi. Where they know who's from the tribe of Levi and who's not. They have this done. It's in the works. It will happen. I'm not sure how this temple will be built, considering the mosque set supposedly where the holy place was originally, but who knows? A missile of some sort could blow up the mosque. We don't know. We don't know how this will be fulfilled, but again, we need to watch. We know that these signs are here. We know that the Bible talks about a temple. We know that the Bible talks about an abomination of desolation. We know that the Bible talks about an anti-Messiah. We know that the Bible talks about a false prophet. We need to watch. We know that the Bible talks about wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines. We know that the Bible talks about an increase in sin. We need to watch. We need to watch. We read in Matthew chapter 24, again, how this man will put the abomination of desolation in the holy place. The word holy is hagios in the Greek. It means it's something pure or sacred or morally blameless or ceremonially consecrated. Or most believe that this hagios refers to the temple and specifically refers to the holy place, that the abomination of desolation will be put. I'd like to close with our last sign here, Matthew chapter 24. We'll spend a few minutes on this sign, Matthew chapter 24. In verse 24. For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to ye, behold, he is in the wilderness, go not forth. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, believe it not. For listen, this is how we will know it's Yahshua. This is how we will know it's Yahshua. This is the one sign he gave for us to know his coming. It says, for as a lightning comes forth from the east and is seen even to the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Whereas the carcass is, there will be the eagles or vultures be gathered together. So this is how we will know Yahshua's coming, when we see him come with his multitude of angels as a lightning is seen from east to west. But Yahshua said here and prophesied that we would see false messiahs, that we would see false prophets deceive with great signs and wonders before his coming. Now, notice that Yahshua said that they would deceive by power. By power. It's going to be deception, wonderful miracles, you might say. People can't explain it, can't be explained. Yahshua also said that if possible, this is scary, think about it. If possible, the very elect could be deceived. Think about the ramifications of that statement for just a moment. If possible, the very elect could be deceived. We also know from Revelation that a false prophet will also receive power from the same source, from Satan, from Lucifer. This man will be able to do great signs and wonders, Scripture says. He's going to be able to rain fire down from heaven. He's going to be able to give life to a lifeless image. Think about that type of sign. And those signs, raining fire down from heaven, giving life to some sort of lifeless image, people will flock to this man. People will flock to this man. Revelation verifies all these things will come to pass. With the power of the anti-Messiah and his false prophet and the deception, there's no question how these men will deceive the world. There's no question that the deception will be worldwide. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again, and verse 4. It says, he that opposes, and this is speaking about the anti-Messiah, the one who will rule in Revelation 13, the one who receives his power from Satan. He that opposes and exalts himself against all that is called Elohim, or that is worship, so that he sets in the temple of Elohim, setting himself forth as Elohim. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know that which restrains to the end, that he may be revealed in his own season. For the mystery of lawlessness already works, only there is one that restrains now until he be taken out of the way. And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the sovereign Yahshua shall consume with the breath of his mouth and annihilate by the manifestation or brightness of his coming. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they may be saved. So again, we find that this man will sit in a temple and will receive power from who? Satan, Lucifer, the deceiver of mankind. He will be able to do great signs and wonders. We've already talked about this. Rain fire down from heaven, his false prophet. Give life to a lifeless image. Who knows what are their signs? Joshua said, signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. I'm sure we're going to see many more signs of that magnitude. And people are just going to go, wow. You know, how did that man do this? How is that done? And they're going to flock towards this man. They're going to be deceived. And it's so important that we understand this now, so that we're not deceived. If possible, the very elect could be deceived. It's a strong statement. We find here also that this man will oppose all that is called Elohim, all that is called mighty ones, and will place himself, it says, as Elohim. He will be a mighty one. In other words, this man will reject all that is worship, including Almighty Yahweh, and will put himself as number one, will put himself as the Almighty, as the Elohim, and man will worship him and him alone. Man will no longer worship Allah. They will no longer worship Buddha. They will no longer even worship Almighty Yahweh. They will instead worship this deceptor, this anti-Messiah, this man of sin. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this message, the term anti can also mean in place of. That's what we're saying here. This man will be in place of Almighty Yahweh. He opposes all so that he may be exalted. He replaces Almighty Yahweh. And that's precisely what we see here. And that is what is prophesied to come. Again, there's a lot more that we could cover with the anti-Messiah. We could give a message, multiple messages, just on this man. But I think if we watch for the signs that we've looked at today, we will not be deceived. We will know what to look for. Again, I'd like to encourage all who may hear this message to prepare now by storing food, by storing water, by devoting ourselves completely to our Father in heaven. And yet I don't want to put or take that away, the emphasis away of our devotion, because we can have all the food and water in the world and still fall short. You understand that? We can have all the food and water in the world and still fall short in the end. If we are not devoted now to our Father in heaven, there's nothing we can do to save our souls, to find salvation. We need to be ready. We need to make ourselves ready now. We need to strive every day to become better friends of our Father in heaven. We need to have great faith, great devotion, great dedication to Him. We all fall short, myself included. But we need to become stronger disciples of our Father so that someday, when all these things do occur, if they do happen in our lifetimes, we may be ready. We may be strong. We may endure and we will survive. And hopefully with Yahweh's help, be found worthy of Yahshua's return and His coming. May Yahweh bless you.